Right. Hey everybody. Good evening. My name is Kathleen. I am a compulsive overeater, lots of bulimic, 100 pounder, and restrictor. All right. So very, very happy to be here tonight. Okay, very grateful for the night crew. I'm so glad that we're still here. And okay, so I'm just gonna get right to it. I'm gonna tell you a little bit about myself, where I came from and how I got here. I'll probably tiptoe around decades. You know, I'll probably go back to the childhood, and then I'll probably, like, you know, and then fast forward, and then we'll go back, you know, because that's just how it is. So I was born in 1969, and I grew up on the East Coast. And so basically I grew up in the 80s and the 90s. And so, and I remember the 70s, but you know, I was a little girl then, and food didn't really affect me until, you know, of course, my teenage years. And so I was born in New York, but I grew up in Orlando, and I lived in North Carolina a little while, and now I'm in Colorado, and I've been here since 98. All right, so I guess I like it. I'm not going anywhere. I have to say, I came into OA on the same day that I came into AA, and that was January 1st, 2013. I did a 9 a.m. OA meeting. I will never forget that day. It was freezing cold. And I, of course, I didn't want to leave the house. I was 227 pounds, you know, just hungover from all the food and all of that. So, but I decided I have got to get to OA. And then at 1:30, I went to AA. So the reason why I'm mentioning AA, because they kind of go together, because I went to both of them on that day. But when I went to the 9 a.m. OA meeting, the lady was like, well, I really think you should also kind of work both programs, but you definitely belong here. Okay, for sure. So, never left. I've never left OA. I've always had an eating disorder, obsessed with food. I wasn't an overweight kid. I was very active in Florida because that's just what you did back then before computers and internet and all of that. You know, we swam and we ran and I played soccer and I was in dance and I was in all of that. But I always like did kind of have an obsession with food because I was always hungry. You know, I grew up with three brothers, with a narcissistic schizophrenic mother and a father who was really severely incest abused by his mother, my grandmother. And it really screwed him up. They just are major narcissists, both of them. And they both hated their families. And they made sure that they moved away from the North to get us down to Florida because they just couldn't handle it. But there was always food in the house. We, you know, I remember when Domino's moved to town, that was like a big deal. And oh my gosh, we had it all the time. And it was just so great. I mean, wow. And it was just, food was all we had because we were, you know, kind of poor. I wouldn't say we were poor. We should have probably been on welfare or food stamps, given that my father had, you know, four kids. But of course, you know, we were too proud for that. And then just very cocky, egotistical, non-loving, not unconditional love. It was conditional love where I, you know, in the household that I grew up. But again, the eating disorder didn't really come in until I was 16 years old. And the body image, I've always really kind of, before I became an extreme overeater and gained the 100 pounds, I've always been between 125 and 135. You know, kind of basically my whole life, you know, since I was 16 years old, we'll say that. And so, but I got involved with a 20-year-old man. I shouldn't have done that. You know, I worked at this taco place and he was the assistant manager. And, you know, he gave me the attention that I wanted at first. And so I got into a relationship and boy, did he mess with my head. You know, every little thing and poking my stomach and, oh, you're getting fat. And what is this? And I'm like, what? Like, what? This is crazy. Okay. But at the same time, you know, I could say that now, but looking back, it just like devastated me, you know, and then After that, it just took off. The restricting, I just thought if I'm thin, then everything will be okay. And I was okay, but I what really wasn't when I look back. That breakup really devastated me. We didn't last long, just the summer of, I think, what was it, summer of 86 or something like that, or 87. And it really screwed with my head. All right, so coming forward, we're gonna move forward now, because even in my 20s and 30s, I just thought, if I'm thin, then I'll be okay and I'll get a man and I'll get all this and all my problems will go away, or I just won't have any problems. And that's how I was raised too. My parents were so judgmental and they were like, overweight, this is the thing. And me and my brothers would tell them that. Like, how can you be judging these people where we'd be at like at a restaurant or something? Oh my God, look at what they look like. It's like, well, you're overweight. Like, this is crazy, And so, but I just grew up in a very, very egotistical, cocky, just, oh my gosh, environment. It was just because they were so miserable. They never left the house. They still don't leave the house. My parents are 84 and 83. I haven't seen them in 25 years. I'll get to the amends in just a second. But I mean, they just had no friends, no church, nothing social. I just think they thought if I stay in the house and hide, everything will be okay. And now my brothers and I are not like that. We weren't like that. We were pretty like go-getters. Like, we want to get out of the house. And as long as we leave this house, we'll be okay. And we were for a while. Okay, then the drinking came around, and I have to mention the drinking and the wine, because wine is food. And it's not just alcohol, but it's also food. So I started to become a wine drinker, and I never drank on an empty stomach. I always had, wine with something, right? It always went with something, okay? And I was such a snob. Like, you better have the right kind of wine with the right kind of food, or I'll say something to you. Like, I was just so ridiculous. But I thought I was okay in the beginning, and then it just took off, the takeout, the combo meals. By the time I was 40, because I was going through a divorce, my first husband was military. Oh boy. And he drank as well, but he didn't really eat, but I did. And I just became an overeater. And I was really just eating my feelings. I was eating my emotions. I was eating my childhood. And sure enough, my worst nightmare came true. I just turned into my parents and I just wanted to stay in the house. And when I got off work, oh, where am I going to eat? I mean, it was just so ridiculous. I mean, I remember going to like, but I would like have an excuse for it. Well, I'm separated and I'm going through a divorce and all of this. And the thing was, is that I just never thought that this would ever happen to me. I'm a fitness instructor. I actually have a degree in exercise science. And I actually work at a day spa now, and I do that on the side. But I just never thought, 10 turned into 20, 20 turned into 32. I just thought, okay, well, I'm under 200 pounds. What's the big deal? Oh, I'll get the divorce and then everything will be okay. And then I can really focus on that. And it just didn't happen until I went to OA. Okay, so skipping forward, we're in OA now in 2013. And I was going to, I live in Colorado Springs. Okay, so now remember, back in the day, we had in-person meetings, there was no Zoom. So Colorado Springs didn't really have any meetings. I had to go to a town called Castle Rock. That's about 30, 40 minutes north of Colorado Springs, and it's like right below Denver. And boy, that was the highlight of my week, was going to that meeting. Like, I got to it and it was really great. And they started to kind of get to know me. And I rem but I didn't really work the steps at first, because I was kind of really focusing on not drinking. And I thought the first year, okay, I'm not going to drink, and then I'm just going to cut back on my food and all that. And all I lost was like 30, 40 pounds in the first year. I didn't really lose the weight like I thought. I thought I was going to lose 5 pounds a month and like 60 pounds. I thought that was like really doable, but I didn't. So this lady comes up to me and she goes, oh my God, you're just holding on. Okay, we got to get you living in 10 steps 10, 11, and 12. This was at the OA meeting in Castle Rock. Okay, good for you. You're like, 18 months sober from the alcohol. Okay, you're doing okay, but you need to be focusing. You're still all up in the food, and you're really not living a spiritual life. You're focusing so much more on the physical, and you're not focusing on the mental and the spiritual, like the higher power. So she was my first sponsor. I absolutely loved her. Very sad when she passed away. She was like everything. That was really difficult. And like all passings are very difficult. But she was the one that really was like, look, we're going to do a set of steps. Don't plan on losing any weight when you do these steps. That's not going to happen, probably. You'll be lucky if you don't gain weight. But we really got to do the inventory sheets with step four, and we got to get you doing your amends, and all the other ones too, the character defects. And we got to get you sponsoring when all this is done. And I'll tell you what, I made an amends to my father, okay, because I was very bitter and angry about the childhood. And I took his childhood out on him. I really went after him when I was all up in the food. And when I did that amends, I was so scared. I had to send it in a Hallmark card. Okay, this is kind of old school because they don't leave the house and they don't really, I had to put it was right around my birthday, which is November. And I remember, okay, I'm gonna mail this before I go to Iceland. And then when I come back, he wrote me back. So I had to write it like in a Hallmark card. Like I didn't want to make it look like a letter or like something serious. And he took it and he took the amends and he goes, I've made mistakes too, and all of that. So when I made that amends, boy, my life mentally and emotionally got so much better. I felt so much relief. And then the weight really started to drop. I didn't have to really think about it. It wasn't looming over me. And the other amends as well, because the OA sponsor really did a thorough, we did a really thorough inventory, which took hours to do, to go over. And then we did a very thorough amends. And she actually took some of my amends off the list. She didn't add any. She kind of took some off, like, okay, you don't really need, I don't think you need to do an amends for this person and this person. I think we just really need to kind of focus on the father, and we'll start with that. And when I did, a sense of relief came over me. Like, I have done everything that I can possibly do, especially with that set of steps. Now, I have done another set of steps in the last like 12 and a half years. I go to meetings and I found OA Footsteps Night Crew. It was during COVID. And COVID was very different. Okay. I had turned 50 years old and I had never experienced anything like this before. So what happened with COVID is that I kind of got a little bit of a caffeine addiction, the pre-workout drinks and the coffee and all of that, because I was so afraid of the quarantine 15. And so eventually this last year, I gave up the caffeine. I am 10 months and a week with that. And that has been a game changer as well. Now I know we're not in CAFA, this is OA. But caffeine is food. Okay. So, boy, here we go. I'm going to have to redo everything again because I've had to really change my red foods due to the caffeine. And I'm okay with that. It was a little different at first, it was kind of hard. But I'm glad that I have because it's really helped with the cravings. And the anxiousness and the resentments and the trauma, a lot of trauma. And the PTSD has really, really gone down. So, very, very grateful. I'm a big 12-stepper. I'm a big, big thumper person. I'm kind of old school, But I do really believe that it works if you work it. But in the beginning, I wasn't really working it. And then I started to really work it, and it made sense. Very grateful over the years to so many people. I love my fellowship friends. That's all I have now is fellowship friends. I don't really have any other kind of friends, to be honest with you. So I really hope I said enough. I'm not sure if there's anything else that I need to go over. I just really wanted to get the amends clear and that OA works if you work it. It really does. And I'm proof of that. If I could show you a before photo, I would. But we're good. So I really hope that this helps. Is my time up? Because it looks like I have 3 seconds. Do I
You
have
have
five more
five
minutes?
more. Yeah, but you don't
Okay.
have
Well,
to.
I don't think I'm the okay. So just really, I love being a 30-day support person. I have my sponsees, but I make sure I don't do too much service, but I have to do some service because there were people before me who did the service. And without service, we don't have a fellowship. That's all I know. And many times I've seen meetings like disappear. They had to stop because of service. So I really try to be a service, but I try not to do too much because then I don't want to get overwhelmed. Because if I start to get overwhelmed, then I'm going to start to get all anxious and stressed, and then I'll be all up in the food. Have I been abstinent for 12 and a half years perfect? That would be ridiculous. But I'll tell you this much. Every time, okay, I came in 227 and now I'm 127. Okay. Every time I lost the weight, it didn't come off like the way I wanted it to, but I kept it off and I never left. So when I got down to 190, then 180, then 170, I never went back. Because I never left the program. And I know that's why I never gained it back. Because how many times have we all heard of people have been in OA and then I came back and then I left and then, all of that. And then, but I know if I stay and I remember that abstinence comes first and I'm in recovery and that's just the way it goes. If I work my program and I work my tools and I read like a daily reader, like a four today, and of course it's posted on the WhatsApp now, but back in the day we didn't have WhatsApp and all that stuff. So, I had my literature and I would just read a Voices of Recovery just as a little reminder. I would just journal, I would do something. And then, of course, meal plan is really important too. I really try to stay away from red foods. And somebody had said this, that I just have green and red foods, just forget the yellow foods. And I'm kind of like that too. It's either I can eat it or I can't. There's just like no in between with me. I'm either all the way or like nothing, no red foods. And I have found that if I have just green foods, then I know like I'm not going to binge and I'll just eat it and then I'll stop, And I have my 3 meals a day. I'm a big 301er, 3 meals a day, zero snacks, 1 day at a time. And that's it. Thank you so much for letting me share. This was really great. I absolutely love you guys. I love OA, I love OA Footsteps. And keep coming back because it works if you work it and you're worth it. Thank you.